We're holding the Mishnah Pehe on the base, the bottom. Mishnah says, now, the Mishnah is going to be talking more about the dinim of who is and isn't allowed to eat truma, which we touched on in previous prakim, and now we're going to have more about that. Mishnah says, Bas Yisrael Moresis Lakayin, Bas Yisrael who is engaged, well, not really engaged, but you know what it means, that where tradition has been done with a Kayin, but she's not yet fully married to him. Or more better Kayin, she's pregnant with a Kayin's child, and then her husband dies. Loi Teichel B'Truma, then she's not allowed to eat Truma at that point. We learned about that previously because we said that the... What? You're right. Thank you. Shemeres Yavon L'Kayin, or a woman who her husband was a Kayin, he died. She's waiting for Yavon with his brother. Thank you. V'chein Bas Kayin L'Yisrael, the same thing of Bas Kayin who is with a Yisrael in any of these cases, with Kedushin, or she's pregnant with him, etc. Loi Teichel B'Truma, so in all those cases, she's not allowed to eat Truma. We learned that. So we said that either it's a Bas Yisrael who is engaged to a Kayin or was married to a Kayin and is pregnant for him, or is a Shemeres Yavam, or the other way around. We learned previously why all those things, because we said that the fact that she's engaged to the Kayin, midaraisa, she should be able to eat Truma, but midrabanan we don't allow her, either because she may end up giving it to her family or because it might end up that the Kedushin will be nisbatel. Moberes, we said, doesn't work because the child of Yisrael makes a Bas Kayin posel to eat Truma. But conversely, if his mother was the wife of a Kayin and now she's pregnant with him, then she can't until he's actually born because you live basically. We went through all that. Some of these cases in Zeraisa, some of them in Drabonim. Now, here's the key point. Bas Yisrael Moresis Mulevi. What about the case of Bas Yisrael who is engaged to a lady? Or Moberes Mulevi, who is pregnant from a lady. Shemeres Yavam Mulevi. Or, again, her husband was a lady and he died and she's waiting on Yibum for his brother who's a lady. V'chein Bas Levi Yisrael. And similarly, in all those the parallel cases where she was a Bas Levi and was engaged or pregnant from, etc., Yisrael. Loi Teichel B'Maiser. Then the Mishnah is saying she cannot eat Maiser. Maiser meaning Maiser Rishon. The obvious question, because my submission goes to Levim, the obvious question which the Gemara is going to deal with is why? Truma, we know, is indeed only for Kohenim. My submission, on the face of it, yes, you're supposed to give it to a Levi, but in principle, anybody can eat it. So we're going to have to deal with that. That's going to drive most of today's Gemara, is going to be that issue.
Not parallel.
Yeah. Bas Levi Moresis Lakayin, Moberes Lakayin, Shemeres Yavon Lakayin. What about if it's a daughter of a Levi who is engaged to a Kayin or pregnant from a Kayin or Shemeres Yavon from a Kayin, V'chein Bas Kayin the Levi? And similarly, if she was a Bas Kayin and was married to a Levi or engaged to him or whatever, Loi Teichel Lo B'Truma V'Loi B'Maiser, then we say she can't eat Truma or Maiser. She can't eat Truma for the same reasons as the Bas Yisrael couldn't in those cases. The fact that she's a Bas Levi doesn't help her in that. And she can't eat Maiser for the reasons if we're assuming that Loi Teichel B'Maiser means at face value she can't eat Maiser, then the same thing would be if she's a Bas Kayin in the Levi, would be the same logic.
Yeah, what's the
problem with the Maiser? That's going to be the question. Why is Maiser off limits to anybody who's not a Levi? Moberes B'Kayin, meaning that she was married to the Kayin, she became pregnant from him, mm-hmm. And now he died. Now he died, so if the child was already born, she'd be able to eat on the basis that she has a child who's a Kayin. We're going to learn about that later. But we learned that before, and we're going to learn it later on in the next pair. But since she's only pregnant, then no, it doesn't work. Yes. Right, so Moresis, as we said, is only Midrabanan. Midaraisa, technically, she should be able to, because she's Kinyan Kasper already. But Midrabanan, we don't allow it either because we don't want her to accidentally give it to her family or because we're afraid there may be a simper and that he may find something the matter with her and break off the Kedushin.
Boom.
Yeah.
Shemeres Yavam because
she's not yet. Also true, yeah. So the Gemara asks, to Hey Zora. So what? Let's say, for example, okay, not focusing on the case with Kayanim and Truma, fine, we understand that all well enough. Why are we saying that a Bas Yisrael, or a Bas Kayin for that matter, who is engaged to a Levi or pregnant from a Levi, etc., cannot eat Maiser? Okay, let's say she's a Zora. So what? Zora mi lo yachol b'maiser. So what? There's no issue on a Zora to eat Maiser Rishon. You do have to give Maiser Rishon to the Levi, but anybody's allowed to eat it. There's no intrinsic kedusha in it.
once it's a levy, you can give it to anybody.
Exactly. Amar of Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Hamani Rabbeihi. You know what? Our Mishnah is according to Rabbeihi. To Amar Ma'aser Rishon, also Lazarim. He in fact says that Ma'aser Rishon, just as Truma is also to anybody who's not a Kohen, so he says Ma'aser Rishon is also to.
Please close the door.
So also according to Rabbeihi, Ma'aser Rishon is also to anybody who's not a Levi. D'tanya, as we learn in the Braisa, Truma LaKohen or Ma'aser Rishon LaLevi, Divrei Meir. Meir says that that's how it goes. Truma is given to the Kohen and Ma'aser Rishon is given to the Levi. Which, I mean, Meir doesn't have to be telling us that. I mean, that we know from the Sukkot. The point Rashi explains, the point that we're making based on what Meir says is just like when it comes to giving the Truma to the Kohen means you have to give it to the Kohen because the Kohen is the only one who can eat it. So also, if Meir is saying, my solution, the Levi, the implication is not just you have to give it to the Levi, we know that from the Pasuk, but only the Levi is allowed to eat it. No, it doesn't have to. Truma L'Kayin, my solution, the Levi. Divir Abir. Rabbi Lozman Azariah, Matir L'Kayin. Whereas Rabbi Lozman Azariah says that the my solution is Mutter to a Kayin.
Not
the Pashas, we would assume that he means that it's Mutter to everybody. But wait. The question is, Maturim Mekalal De Ichamanda Asa. Why is there any? Fine, Mela, when it comes to Yisrael, we're saying that Meir maybe is saying that my submission is also to Yisrael. Everybody agrees it's mutter to Kohenim because all Kohenim are also Levim, as we're going to talk about later. There's many places where the Torah calls the Kohenim Levim. So there's no question. Everybody should agree if a Levi is allowed to eat Meiser, surely a Kohen is also because he's also a Levi. So what do we mean, material Kohen? Elaim and Noisnei Afakayin. No, what it means is Rabbi Lozman Azariah said that you can also give my solution to the Kohen rather than to the Levi. And we'll talk about on Amud Beis the details of that. So, my time is Reb Meir. So, what's Reb Meir's reason that he says that indeed my solution is also to Yisrael? Amud of Achabre Dirab, Mishmei de Gemara. Mishmei de Gemara means, like we say in Abaye Hab Masader, it means he learned it from, Rashi says over here, it means he learned it from his teachers, and his teachers learned it from their teachers, going all the way back to Reb Meir. To explain what Reb Meir is saying over here. We don't know yet what Reb Meir's reason is, but he had the Kabbalah from his teachers going back several generations to Reb Meir. Why? Because when the Pasuk says, Ki es masa b'nei Yisrael asher yirimu l'Hashem truma, that maaser of the Jewish people which they take off to Hashem as truma is to be given to the Levim, that's talking about maaser mission. Why is it called truma? Ma truma asur lazarim. Maaser mission asur lazarim. Just as truma is also to anybody who's not a kohen who's a zar, so also maaser mission is also to anybody who is not in that category, namely Yisraeli. Okay, you're going to ask, "E matruma chayavan olav misa b'chaymesh at ma'isa chayavan olav misa b'chaymesh." Well, by that logic, if you're calling ma'isa equivalent to truma, then say the same thing as truma. If a zor eats it, he's b'meizit, he's chayav misa b'dishamayim, and if he eats it b'shogig, then he has to pay. He has to pay the kohen the value of it plus a chaymesh. At ma'isa chayavan olav misa b'chaymesh. You would think also in that case maybe the same rule applies to ma'isa. No, because omakro umesu boy ki chaluluhu. Because in connection with Truma, there's a whole section in Parshas Emor. We learned the Pesukim. We went through the Pesukim about it at the beginning of the previous Perek, at the beginning of the previous Perek. We said that the Pesuk says Umesu Boy Ki Yichaluluhu, that they will die because they profane it, because they misuse it. And the Yosef Chamishisa Olav, and you should add a fifth to it, meaning the Truma. So both those things, the boy and the Olav, boy v'loy v'maiser, the word boy means only in Truma, not in Maiser. Olav v'loy v'maiser, and similarly, the word Olav means that you only have to pay. You only have to add the Chaymish if you're paying for Truma that you ate, not Maiser. So even if we say as Reb Meir does that Truma and Maiser are similar in that both of them are off limits to anybody who it's not meant for. But they're not equivalent as far as these in them, because even the mayor agrees you do have those two meals in the pasuk.
They're not treated as...
Yeah. Okay, the Rabbanon, what would the Rabbanon answer to that? What do they do with the Hekesh, the fact that the Torah calls Maisu Truma? The answer, Mat Truma Tevelos, Af Maisu Rishon Nami Tovel. No, what the pasuk is teaching us is like this. We know that before you start taking out Trumas and Maisus from produce of any kind, it's called Tevel. You're not allowed to eat it. And in fact, you chayim Misa B'nei Shemayim for eating it. Now, We know that before Truma has been taken out, we know that there's an Isser of Tevel on it, and you have an Isser. We know that clearly from the Pasuk. But how would we know that that also applies to Maestris? What about if a person did like the Amei Oretz that we know from Shas? The Amei Oretz who used to only take off Truma, and they used to not bother with the Maestris. They didn't think they were important. How do we know, nevertheless, they are important, and if you don't take them out, it's still considered Tevel? That's how. The point is, by the Torah calling Meiser, the one that you give to Levi, by calling it by the word Truma, means to teach us it's similar to Truma in the sense that before you took it out of the produce, the produce is still Tevel, and you're not allowed to eat it.
So they learn it out for
different. They use the same limit for a different purpose, right? As we learn in a Braiser of Yosi, you would think maybe that you only chayev misa for tevel, you didn't take out anything from it at all. Rashi says the reason is because, and the logic would be because at that point you still have truma in it, where truma is in fact a zoroi truma. We said is chayev misa b'dishmaim, so it's logical to assume that as long as you haven't taken out the truma, then yes, then that's what makes a tevel that you chayev misa b'dishmaim. And how about, though, if you took off the Truma G'dayla, it's called that as opposed to Truma Meiser, which is a smaller amount that the Levi gives to the Kohen, or Meiser Rishon V'loy Meiser Sheni, what about if you took off Meiser Rishon, you did not take off yet Meiser Sheni, V'afilo Meiser Oni, or even if all that's missing is Meiser Oni, where Meiser Oni is in a way, the most lenient of all. Meiser Rishon, Meiler, you have to give it to the Levi, and we're saying, according to the Meir, it's also to Rezar. And he has to take off Trumas Meiser from it. Meiser Sheni, you have all kinds of special rules, as we know. Meiser Oni, Rashi says, is basically just a form of tzedakah. So how do you know that even if you fail to give Meiser Oni, it's still considered tevel? Minayin. Tamad loy maloy sukha lecho b'sharecha. The Pasuk says like this. The Pasuk says that you are not allowed to eat. The Pasuk has a whole long list of things that it says you're not allowed to eat in your gates, meaning in your cities back home. And I have a whole list of them. All the different kinds of things that are supposed to be eaten in Yerushalayim. Okay, what does Bisharacha mean? Elsewhere, when it describes Meiser Oni, the Torah, when it describes the mitzvah of beer Meisteris, that you can hold on to your Meisteris for a couple of years, and then eventually you distribute them all in the third, after the third year and after the sixth year, and that's when you do Vidu Meiser, that's when you go in the Mishmikvah and make the declaration of their Biyauti HaKodesh Min HaBayis. So in that connection, it mentions Meiser Oni, and it says, "V'ochlo v'sharacha v'sameyu." You give the appropriate Meiser to the Aniyim, and they eat it in your gates, meaning in your cities, and they can be satisfied. So we make a gzeira shava, "Masharacha amalahal and Meiser Oni," just like the word "sharacha" there is in connection with Meiser Oni. "Apsharacha amokan Meiser Oni." So also, when it says "loisucha lecha b'sharacha," means that you're not allowed to eat something that still contains Meiser Oni. That the word "sharacha." Bisharacha means something that still contains Meiser Oni, which is supposed to be given to the poor people to eat in your gates. V'amar Rachman Olay Sochal on the pasuk saying you're not allowed to eat it. So there you go. Tevel is also even if all that's still left in it is the Meiser Oni. what? The Meiser Sheni, we would know. Basically, but I mean, we're saying that once we have that any kind of meiser, not even really a kavachomer, but more like a gili milsa ba'alma, I guess. Once we see that a certain kind of meiser that's still left in it is once we know already meiser ishin and we know meiser oni, then yeah, meiser sheni automatically follows as well. The imei hasam. Now, though, if it was only based on that pasuk, have amin lalav. If we only had the pasuk loisucha lecha b'sharecha, fine. We would know that tevel, that's still considered tevel, and you're over on a lav as long as something has not been taken out of it. Al misaloi, but you would not know that you're chayiv misa for it. That is why kashmalan. That's why you need the pasuk that we mentioned before. The fact that the Torah compares meiser to truma. So Rav Meir wants to use that pasuk to tell us that Meiser is also Lazarim, but Chacham are telling him, no, you need that to tell us that Tevel, that still has some kind of Meiser in it, is still Chayiv Misa B'nei Shemayim.
Where does he learn it from?
Where does he learn it from? The Pashtus, he would say you don't need, once you have the Lois Tuchal, that you know that that's also, then okay, you know automatically it means Tevel is Tevel. And that's the conclusion.
Okay.
or Lishna Achrina, or a different version of the discussion, is my solution to Tavol Midrabi Yosi Nafka, that the fact that if you still have my solution left in there, that you haven't taken off my solution, you know that from Rabbi Yosi's limud. You know that from the Pasuk Leitzuch Halecha B'Sharecha. So why would you need the Pasuk, why would you need the Pasuk Kiyas Masa B'nei Yisrael Asher Yudim Ul Hashem Truma? And the answer is same thing as before. Imahi Havamin Olav. If we only had Rabbi Yosi's Pasuk, we would only know it's an Isser Lav, Havam Misaloi, but you would not know the Isser Misa, Kamash Kolon, that's the Chiddush. It amounts to the same thing, it's just a different way of saying it. There seems to be a lot of that here in Yavamas, I don't know why. Okay, so far then we've established that when the Mishnah is telling us that a Bas Yisrael who's engaged to a Levi or was married to a Levi and now her husband died and she's pregnant with a child, etc., that we're saying she's not allowed to eat Meiser, that would have to be according to the Meir, because according to the Chum, there shouldn't be a problem with her eating Meiser. She can't be given it maybe, but she's allowed to eat it after the fact. Okay, but Mayo Kimta, can a Meir? So what are you telling me so far? You've explained the Mishnah according to the Meir. Ema Sefer. How about look at the next part of the Mishnah? Baslevi Mureses LeKoyin. We said that Baslevi, who was engaged to a Koyin, or Bas Koyin the Levi, or the other way around, it was Bas Koyin was engaged to a Levi. Loi Tocha Levi Truma V'Levi Meiser. Then we're saying she can't eat Truma or Meiser. So we're saying in the case of the Baslevi Mureses LeKoyin, again, Midrabanan, she's not allowed to until she's fully married. And we're saying that a Bas Koyin who's engaged to a Levi at that point, she becomes possible from Truma. Fine, we understand, because her husband is a Zohar relative to Truma. But we're saying that in both those cases, they can't eat Meiser either. Hocha, my Zorosika. What kind of Zoros is there? Again, we said before, everybody agrees that the Koyin is definitely allowed to eat Meiser Rishon. The only machlokas was whether Yisrael is allowed to eat it. It contradicts not only the Rabbanan, it contradicts your Meir too. Because even a mayor is only saying, what is your mayor saying? The mayor is saying that a Kohen or a Levi are allowed to eat Meiser Rishon, but a Yisrael is not. You know, imagine, for example, if we were talking only about Truma.
We're only talking about Kohen and Levi.
No, but that's right, so that's the thing. In other words, imagine we were talking, for example, imagine we had a case of a, excuse me, a Bas Kohen who was engaged to a Kohen. Obviously, she's still able to eat Truma, right? Because she may not be able to eat Truma on her husband's basis yet, but she can still eat Truma based on her father's. Here we're saying that a Bas Koyen who's married, who's engaged to a Levi, or a Bas Levi who's engaged to a Koyen, we're saying she's possible from not only from Truma, but also from Meiser. Which implies, in other words, we're saying we're treating her as a Zohar relative to Meiser. Now why? Now why are we treating her as a Zohar relative to Meiser when, according to the mayor, a Koyen is not a Zohar, a Koyen is not a Zohar to Meiser? So you can't say that's what it means. You're right. You know what? You have to re-explain the Mishnah. My Eina Echelos Tikatani. What does the Mishnah mean when it says that this woman cannot eat my submission? It doesn't mean literally she can't eat it. It means Eina Nesenes Rishus Litraim. It means that she does not have the authority yet, she does not have the ability yet to give permission to a shliach, to appoint a shliach to take off truma from produce that belongs to her arus. Her husband himself would have to do it because it's his property. Now you're allowed to appoint the shliach to give truma for you. In fact, the pasuk uses the expression "kein terumah gam atem." The word "gam atem" we learn from their shlichus, and we learn from that. That's the whole basis. The whole basis of the din of shlichus comes from that one pasuk. But one thing is, it has to be kein terumah gam atem. It has to be you yourself. You yourself have rishus over the produce. So therefore, anybody who's going to give truma on your behalf has to be somebody who you, the owner of it, delegate to. She's an arusa. She does not yet have control over that produce. It belongs to her fiance. That's what we mean. Eina echelas means. So what does it mean? In fact, why do we use the term eina echelas? Because it means if he has this tevel, she wants to eat from it. If she was already married, she would already, it's, you know, joint property. She'd be able to appoint the shliach to give truma and meiser on behalf of her husband, on behalf of herself and her husband, and then she'd be able to eat it. Right now, she's an arusa, so she can't appoint the shliach for that purpose. She has to wait for her fiance to be available. Therefore, it comes out that she can't eat. But that's what it means. Not she can't eat because she's a zara, but she can't eat because it's tevel and there's nothing she can do with it.
Well, then also the
Okay, that's that thing.
Then we know for sure Eino Yochelet. So what do we learn from Eino Yochelet? You have to learn.
Okay, well, that's, we'll get to it in a minute.
Well, then we should.
We have to think it out.
Ah, well, that's an yeah, yeah. You're right. Yeah. The question is, Mikladenis, the Nesuah Nesenes Rishus. So, what is the implication that if she was fully married, she would be able to give permission first? The answer is in. Yes. Tanya, and thus we learn in a braisa. So when the pasuk says, "V'achaltem oitzer b'chol makom atem uveischem," you, meaning the Levim, can eat the ma'aser rishon anywhere you want, in any place, you and your household. What's the point of mentioning you and your household? Limit on the sura bas yisrael. We learn from this that a bas yisrael who is married to a levi, shenesenes rishon, or to anybody for that matter, shenesenes rishon l'tzurim, that she can give permission. That she can give permission for truma to be taken off, which means also, so she's married to a levi, she can give permission for the truma of ma'aser to be taken off and given to the kohen.
It has to be, what's it called? Yehud is enough.
So we talked about that briefly. The Gemara talks about it in Ksubas. I think, if I remember correctly, actually it depends on the two different reasons. Whether we say the reason is because she might give it to her family or because there might be a simpon. If it's a matter she might give it to her family once nichnas lechuppah, then that's not an issue anymore. If it's a matter of a simpa and that's something that he might find a mumin or something, then I think you need actual beer. I don't remember that. We'll get to it in a few months. That's the shem. We'll get into it around Pesach time. yeah. Okay, continues the Braisa, after Omer Rishus Litzroim, Ayena El Lachol. So you're telling me then that she has permission to appoint somebody to give the truma herself, the truma of Meiser, or to appoint somebody to do it, Ayena El Lachol, or maybe what the Pasuk is just telling us is that she has permission to eat it. Maybe up until now, she's not allowed to eat it, like the mayor is saying. Amrit, you have to say truma chamura echelas. You see that a bas yisrael who marries a kohen is allowed to eat truma, even though that's more chamur. You chayav nisa b'deshamayim for a zor to eat it. Maisa hakal lekoshkin. How much more so? Maisa, which is much more lenient. You don't need any special pasuk to tell us that she's allowed to eat it. Obviously, the atum rebeischem has to mean that she has permission to give truma once she's married. That's what the Mishnah would mean then by saying like toichal or toichal. Tosfos points out that actually Rav Sheshes would distinguish between the different parts of the Mishnah. Rav Sheshes would still say there is a portion of the Mishnah over here, the part about the Basi Yisrael and Levi, that we might well say goes according to the mayor. That as a zara she's not allowed to eat, and therefore we use the word lo teichal. Later on, when the Mishnah starts talking about bas koyin lelevi, bas levi lekoyin, where it's not shayach to use that expression, then we have to explain, like he's saying, that we're talking about a different kind of thing. Technically, she's allowed to eat it; she just doesn't yet have the authority to have the shumas and mice just taken off in order that she'll be able to eat it. But according to him, in other words, the word teichal or lo teichal in the two parts of the Mishnah would have different meanings. Another explanation, Ma Breda Rabbana Omer, Loima Shein Chokin Lamaisa Bebeta Gronis. The point of when the Mishnah is saying Loi Toichal in these cases, again, it doesn't mean that she's not allowed to eat it, because again, we're assuming that the Mishnah is not according to the mayor, we're assuming the Mishnah is according to everybody, according to the Chachamim, who say that a Zor is allowed to eat my submission. What it means is, you don't give it to her in the Beis HaGronis. Normally, how do the Kohanim and Levium get their truma? Usually, when the balabas has finished threshing and doing whatever he's doing with his grain or produce or whatever, then the Kohanim and Levium walk out there to the fields. They walk out to the granaries, and the balabas gives them their respective portions. Well, they're not supposed to ask for it. Actually, to ask for it is considered a bizarion of a thing. But he sees them coming, and he's supposed to take that and give it to them. Yeah. But over here, what we're saying over here is that if she comes without her husband, we don't give her truma, we don't give her ma'aser on her own. And actually, Rashi says in this case, it's not just talking about if she's engaged, it's talking about even if she was married, According to this explanation, according to Ma'abre de Rabbana's explanation, the difference is not whether she's engaged or not. The difference is she coming with her husband or not? Now, the question is, later on in the Masechta, the Gemara is going to be talking about this concept that you don't give a woman in the Beis Agronis by herself. You don't give her the Truma or the Meiser. You tell her to come back with her husband or to send somebody else from her household or whatever. Why is that? The Mishnah mentions there are two reasons. The Gemara there mentions two reasons why. I can understand, according to the opinion there that says, the reason you don't do that is because there might be a problem of yichud. You don't want to encourage her to come out to the granary where nobody else is there. We know, for example, from the story of Boaz and Ruth, you know, you could have a whole night there where nobody else is around except the owner. So it would be very unsneistic. So you don't want her to get used to doing that kind of thing. So therefore you would tell her, we're not going to give you, and that'll make her stay away. So that's fine. But the other reason that the Mishnah mentions over there is that why shouldn't you give a woman truma by herself in Beis Agronis? Because what happens if in between she got divorced? So she's coming, you're giving her truma, you don't know that she was divorced already, she maybe isn't telling you, and you're giving her truma and she's going to eat it and be chayav misa b'nei shemayim. So then the question is, so what's the problem over here? Grusha bas levi milay ochla b'maiser. So what? We already established that according to the Chachamim, Azara is allowed to eat maiser. So you end up giving it to her, and she's a grusha. Big deal. What? You haven't caused her to. You're not causing her to do anything that's going to be chayav misa b'nei shemayim.
For maiser.
Yes. For my, but our Mishnah is talking about maiser. So, in other words, why are we saying that, or let's say even fine, you know, if she's a Bas Yisrael, okay, you're not supposed to be giving her Maaser because she's not the wife of a Levi anymore. But fine, the case in our Mishnah where you had a Bas Levi was engaged to a Kohen and we're saying you don't give her Maaser, why not? Why not? Even if her husband divorces her, she's still going to be entitled to eat Maaser.
Yeah.
She's a Bas Levi, exactly. And the question the Gemara answers back, so what? So by that logic, you could say the same thing. You could say that a Bas Kohen who's married to a Kohen, we say you don't give her Truma the Beis Agronis, even though there's no problem, obviously, if her husband divorces her, she still goes back to Truma the Beis Nasha, she's allowed to eat Truma from her father's household. And yet we see that according to that opinion, you still say you don't allow it.
Why?
It's not hers.
Alexander Mishum Grusha Bas Yisrael. Obviously the reason is because you want to make a Zeta. You're not going to allow to give Truma to a woman to the wife of a Kohen, even if she herself is a Bas Kohen, because you might end up doing the same thing with the wife of a Kohen who's a Bas Yisrael, who it turns out is an ex-wife of a Kohen. Well then, so the same logic over here then. So the same logic over here. Yes, in principle, if she's a Bas Kohen or a Bas Levi, you should be able to give her Maaser. There shouldn't be an issue with it because she's allowed to eat Maaser even according to the mayor. But you want to make it clear maybe that because you might confuse it with a case where she's a Bas Yisrael.
But even if she's a Bas
Kohen
or Levi, you know, Maaser, I mean, she's a Grusha. It doesn't belong to her.
If she's a Grusha Bas Levi, she's entitled to get Maaser on her own right.
Not her husband.
Who said it was?
Not her ex-husband,
fine, but so what? We're not talking about that. We're saying if she herself is a Bas Levi, she's always entitled to eat Truma.
She doesn't have to bring her father.
Right. But according to that opinion, that's a matter of, yeah. But we're saying that nevertheless, even according to that opinion, we're saying we do want to be Gozer, because you might confuse it with a case of a Bas Yisrael, right? Okay, the question is, if that's the case, according to Ma'abre de Rabbana's explanation, then why is the Mishnah Bechlal talking about the case where she's only engaged, or pregnant, or what have you? The plain old case where she's married, we're also saying both of these reasons apply. There's a matter of Yichud, and there's a matter of that she might have gotten divorced. The answer is, I did the Tana Resha Moreses, Tana Nami Sefer Moreses. You're right, it didn't have to, in the case of the Bas Kohen and Bas Levi. But since the beginning of the Mishnah did have to mention the case of Moreses, because there is a real difference, a Bas Yisrael who's Moreses, the Kohen, is not allowed to eat Truma Midrabanan, whereas if she's Nesua, she is allowed to, for the reasons we're talking about. So therefore, parallelism, so therefore, Tana Nami Sefer Moreses, so the second part of the Mishnah also mentions the word Moreses, even though technically the same din would apply to Nesua as well. So all told, so far, we have three different ways of understanding our Mishnah. One is that when we're, the part of our Mishnah that talks about about who is and isn't allowed to eat Meiser. One is that it's according to the mayor, who says that a Zor is not allowed to eat Meiser. One is that we're saying that at least part of the Mishnah is not talking about who's allowed to eat it, but who's allowed to take off Trumas and Meiseris on behalf of her husband's property. And number three is we're talking about whether she's entitled to go to the granaries, to the Beis HaGrunis herself and collect it, or whether we make her send somebody else. Now, getting back to the actual topic that we said before of who gets what, Tanan Abanan, Truma L'Kayin or Maiserishin L'Levi. Truma is given to the Kayin, Maiserishin is given to the Levi, Divrei Rabbi Akiva. And here, when we quote it, when we're saying what Rabbi Akiva says, it means a little bit differently than the same words that we mentioned before by Rabbi Meir. By Rabbi Meir, we meant it to say, when he said Maiserishin L'Levi means only a Levi is allowed to, or a Kayin, we said, is allowed to eat it. Here, when Rabbi Akiva is saying it, it's as opposed to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who's going to say that you're allowed to give the Maiserishin to a Kayin, or that maybe that you should give it to a Kayin. Rabbi Akiva is just telling us that no, Maiserishin has its own group of people. You give it to the Levim, not for the Kayin. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, I'm a Kayin. In other words, the point, the machlokas we had before, that at the top of the Amud, with the machlokas we had between a mayor and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, was whether a Yisrael is allowed to eat Maiser. Now the machlokas is something else. Are you allowed to give the Maiserishin to a Kayin, or only to a Levi? So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is saying you can give it to a Kayin.
If you're allowed to give it to a Kohen, how would a Levi be?
We're going to talk about it now. That's the question. The Kohen below the Levi. Are you telling me you're only allowed to give it to a Kohen? Obviously, the Pasuk mentions Levium. There's no question. Then a Levium to Daver. The Pasuk starts off. Right. What Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says.
So you're
allowed to give it also to a Kohen. The Gemara is going to end up explaining actually that there's two possible reasons for it. One reason is there was a point in Jewish history when it was felt necessary to cancel, to fine the Levim, to punish them for something that they failed to do. We're going to get to that now. So the question is, my time with Rabbi Akiva. So why does Rabbi Akiva say Davka Levim? Because the Pasuk says, Ela Levim, Dabba Ramat Alayim. So Levim, Kabashtoi Kro. So obviously the Pasuk is talking to the Levim. The Idach, what would Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah answer to that? He'd say, no problem. The Pasuk means Kedir Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. That we can understand the Pasuk the way Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi understands it. Da'amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, the Esrim Ba'abam Makomis Nikru Kohenim Levim. There are 24 places in Tanakh where the Kohenim are called by the word Levim. One of them is the Pasuk, the famous Pasuk in Yechezkel that mentions the Kohenim the Levim b'nei Tzadik. Tzadik was the Kohen Gadol in the time of Shlomo HaMelech. Obviously, when the Pasuk calls his descendants Levim, it doesn't mean Levim, it means Kohenim, who are descended from Shevet Levi. There's the idea that's brought in Chassidus, it's brought in Tanya, that loss of love, the Levim are going to be Kohenim, and the Kohenim are going to be Levim, because the Mila of the Levim is going to be higher at that time, is going to be more, we're going to more visibly see the Mila of the Levim over the Kohenim, the Avodah of the Avodah of the Levim.
But how does this help us? I understand that Kohen called Levim, but in our case, we want Levim called Kohen.
No, it's the other way around. When the Pasuk says, Ve'el Levim to Daber, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is saying, that means it can also include Kohenim. So when you're giving the Maiserishin to a Kohen, you're still being Mekayim, not Mitzvah.
You mean Afla Kohen?
Yeah, that's what we said, Afla Kohen, yeah. Yeah.
Why
So there's the idea that the Kohen's avoda is a matter of chesed, the Levi's is a matter of gvura, the singing, the instrument, the instruments and whatever. And lost and lover, we're going to see the advantage. Nowadays we see the advantage of chesed over gvura. That's why, for example, we're grateful that the Eibishter created the world with midas chesed mainly. But the lost and lover, we'll see the advantage of gvura and the advantage of the avoda that comes mitzad of gvura, the avoda over there of kibush b'yesh, like flaming fire.
Chesed, shechem, behemoth. I mean, what's
No, the Kohen Ish Chesed is an expression that the Kohenim are the people of Chesed. That's for example, the explanation that's why the Kohenim are the ones who check out cases of Tzaraas. They're the ones who send the person outside the Machne because you need Davka, somebody who's all Chesed to be the kind of person to say that somebody has to be excluded from the Jewish people for a while. So therefore, you see, yeah. So the point is that the levim are also called the kohenim can also be called levim. So when it says vela levim, the davar can also include kohenim. Rabbi Akiva, what would he answer back? He would say, true. In many places, you do find that the kohenim are called levim. Hachol and matzis amrit. But you can't say that that's what it means over here. Dichtiv, because the pasuk continues as far as my tradition. Va'achaltem oseh b'chol makom. You can eat it in any place. What does that mean? It means that the pasuk is addressed to somebody who is able to eat ma'aser rishon anywhere, any kind of place. As opposed to a kohen who cannot eat it in a cemetery because he's not allowed to go into one. So obviously the pasuk, when it says ve'el levim, has to mean real levim, not kohenim. That's not the point. The point is you could. We learned way back in Erevin, for example, that you can put your Erev Tchumen in a Beis HaKvaros if you want to start your Tchum Shabbos from. And the point is, it has to be something that you can eat, because you could. So you're allowed to. We had the discussion over there about being Matam Echolin Shabbat Yisrael. Okay, fine, but you know.
In general.
Okay, what would Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah answer to that? He would say that's not what it means. What the pasuk means is like this. in any case where you need deloy boy chayma, where you don't need you're allowed to eat it anywhere you want. Deloy boy chayma, all it means is nothing. You're allowed to eat it in a basic forest. You're right. A kohen wouldn't be able to eat it in a basic forest. It means kolaycha de boy, any place you want, you can eat it. Deloy boy chayma, you don't have to eat it inside the walls of your shalayim, unlike ma'aser sheni. The e achale b'tumas haguf le'laki. And furthermore, the pasuk does mean if you yourself are tummy when you eat ma'aser rishon, you're not going to get malchus. Again, unlike tumah. That's all I mean by v'achalta ma'aser b'chol makom. Not to say that there's a kind of people who are allowed to eat it in a basic kavanas and they're not allowed to, and they're the one who are not allowed to get tumah like you, Rabbi Akiva, is saying. No, that's not what it means. It just means the kohen, once he gets the ma'aser rishon, can eat it wherever he wants. No, a kohen is not allowed to go. No. He's not going to become midrabban, and a person becomes tummy from eating tamadika food. But the midraisa, no. No, we're not talking about the basic forest. We're saying, according to the laws of Azariah, you're right, of course a kohen can't go into a basic forest, but that's not what the pasuk means. V'achalta ma'aser b'chol makom just means that you can eat ma'aser rishon in New York. You don't have to take it to your shalayim. Right. Not like tumah, like ma'aser sheni. Like ma'aser sheni, yeah. So the Gemara tells, Rabbi Elazar, how he gins to have a shakur Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah ma'aser rishon. You know, there was a certain garden where Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah used to take the ma'aser rishon from it because he held, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah himself was a kohen. He was a kohen and he held, according to his opinion, that he's allowed to. However, other Rabbi Akiva disagreed. So other Rabbi Akiva, ahadre l'pischa l'bei kivri. So Rabbi Akiva turned around the entrance of this garden so it faced the cemetery. So you could only get into it by going in and out through the cemetery. So now, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah can't go in there anymore. So he's walked away. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, Akiva b'tamila v'anochaye. Akiva is there with his bag, with a leather bag, like he had as a shepherd. And how am I supposed to live? So there are a few different explanations of what he meant by that. One is he meant it in a bit of a derogatory sense. Like the Chabad explains it this way. Like he meant, you know, yeah, Rabbi Akiva, sure, you know, he's going around there like he used to as a shepherd, you know, interfering with things and whatever. But, you know, I have my life to live over here, you know. So Marshall says that actually, no. What Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah meant by this is he's saying, you know what? You know why Rabbi Akiva is telling me that I shouldn't? Because he holds that my tradition should davka could be going to the Levim, who are poor, as the Gemara is going to talk about soon, that really it's meant for the Aniyim, basically. So therefore, he's coming with his bag. One of the many hats that Rabbi Akiva wore was he was a Gabbai Tzedakah. We find, for example, the famous story in the Gemara when you had the four Chachamim on board ship. Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Gamliel has to take truma and ma'aser from produce that he has back home. So he assigns the truma to he assigns the truma to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who was a kohen. The ma'aser to Rabbi Yeshua, who was the ma'aser rishon to Rabbi Yeshua, was a levi, and the ma'aser oni, because it was the ma'aser oni here, to Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva was the gabbai tzedakah. So therefore, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is saying over here, Rabbi Akiva is going around there with his bag, working under his thing of a gabbai tzedakah. Therefore, he doesn't want to prevent me. He wants to prevent me from having this my tradition. And you know what? You're right. He's right in a way. I'm not chayy. I have enough to live on without that. I taka don't need it. Okay, so now they had a discussion. Why is it that they find the Levim, that they were saying that...
So you go into the garden and he would take Meiser.
Right.
Take Meiser.
Now he can't anymore.
He would take Meiser
from the owner. The owner would give him the Meiser Rishon.
Now
we're saying he can't because he can't go through the cemetery. Yeah. So now we're kind of talking. Now we're kind of taking up a new topic.
And he didn't make Fulgenero.
Yeah. All right. So now we're kind of taking up a new topic. We said that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, you're allowed to give the Meiser Rishon to begin with to either a Kohen or a Levi, and according to Rabbi Akiva, only to a Levi. That's Midaraisa. Everybody agrees, though, that there came a point in Jewish history when the Chachamim decided that Meiser Rishon has to be taken away from the Levim. It's a known thing throughout Shas that there came a point when the Levim were punished by having the Meiser Rishon taken away from them. So according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, it was no problem. He started giving it to the Kohen. But now the question is why that happened? Why was that done? And we know, for example, that's a different thing. So the Rambam holds it was only a temporary thing as long as the Beis Hamikdash was standing. Most other Rishonim hold that it was a permanent thing. But we're going to discuss that now. But Rashi says that one nafkamina from that was, we mentioned before about Vidri Meiser, that when you finish giving away your Meiser in the fourth year and the seventh year, and then you go to the Beis Hamikdash and declare B'yauti HaKodesh Min HaBayis, etc. Eventually, in the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, the Mishnah at the end of Masechet Meiser Sheni mentions that Yochanan Kohen Gadol, Yochanan Kohen Gadol, Hever HaJoyas HaMeiser. He took away he stopped this thing. He stopped this practice of doing this Vidri Meiser. And why is that? The Gemara explains, because by his time, this takana was already in effect, that you do not give Meiser Rishon to the Levim. So therefore, you can't, now in that declaration, you're saying that the Arti HaKodesh Min HaBayis, and I did everything that I was supposed to, V'gam Nesativ LaLevi, I also gave the Meiser Rishon to the Levi. Yochanan Kohen Gadol said, look, you can't say that anymore. You're not supposed to be giving it to the Meiser, you're not supposed to be giving it to the Levi anymore because of this Knas. So therefore, he stopped. So from then on, no Hodayas HaMeiser. So that was one change that happened because of the Takana. So why was the Takana done? Pligi brought up Yochanan V'Savia. So Rabbi Yonason. So Rabbi Yonason and the elders, meaning the other Talmid Chachamim, argued about it. Chad Omer Shalai Olo B'mei Ezra. One says that the reason is because the Levim did not come back to Eretz Yisrael in the times of Ezra. As the Gemara is going to quote later, right before the Mishnah, a pasuk that says that when Ezra. So yeah, there were actually two waves of Jews who came back to build the second Beis Hamikdash. You had when Kodesh made his announcement that Mibachem Mikolam Yal. Then the pasuk mentions over there that 40-some thousand Jews came back, and they included from all kinds. They included Kohenim and they included Levim. Later on, 20-some years later, Ezra came up. Ezra left Babel. It brought along with him all the Psula Yichus and everybody, and then went to Eretz Yisrael to make a new beginning of things. Then the pasuk says, as the Gemara is going to quote soon, that he checked out and could not find any Levim in his entourage. Now there were Levim there actually, but they were the Tosfos Yishonim explains over here. They were the Levim who had cut off their thumbs. This is the famous story that the Al-Naris Babel, a generation earlier, when Nebuchadnezzar had taken the Jews into Galus. They're sitting over there by the rivers in Babel, and the goyim are ordering them shoot along and shoot to you and sing to us some of the songs for the Mishmikdash, and they're saying Eich Nashas Shashem Alad Masnecha. How can we? How you talking? We should sing songs on foreign soil. So what do they do? Actually, they in the Nebuchadnezzar is not going to take no for an answer.
Just the Levim.
Just look. One second. He was asking the Levim to play because they're the ones who play in the Mishmikdash. So what do they do? They're Nebuchadnezzar is not going to take no for an answer. These guys bit off their thumbs. So that physically they can't play the instruments anymore. So these people, they survived the whole Golas Babel. Now they're coming back. So they're the ones who came back. But Ezra was saying, that's not good enough. We need Levim. We're actually able to play the instruments in the Mishmikdash. And therefore he was very upset. That's not the point. A Levi is not possible because of a mum. But in this, the practical matter, they can't play the instruments. You need your thumb for it. So therefore, so one is because they did not come up in the times of Ezra. The other explanation is that they assign the Maaser Rishon to the Kohanim, so the Kohanim have what to eat during the time they're Tamei. They can't eat Truma, because you can't eat Truma when you're Tamei. So in order that they should have something to eat, they gave a Maaser Rishon. So again, according to the Rambam, this is only a temporary thing, as long as the Beis HaMikdash is standing. After the Churban, it goes back to the way it was. According to everybody else, it's a permanent thing. So the question is, Bishleim Lamanda Omer Shalai Olu. Okay, we can understand according to the opinion that says that it was Leviam's fault for not coming to Eretz Yisrael. Mishamachi Kansinu, that's why Ezra canceled them. But according to the second opinion, that it's that you need the Kohanim need something to eat while they're Tomei. What, Mishum Kohanim Kansinu Leviam? Or how is that fair? Because the Kohanim need something to eat, therefore you're taking it away from Leviam. What are Leviam supposed to live on? Ella kula alma knasa shalai olav me'ezra. So no, everybody agrees that there's no question the original knas is because of what they failed to do in Ezra's times, that a healthy Levium failed to come back. So what's the point of the machlokas? Well, mar sava koinim me'etu masan aniyim minu. The hachav hachav miflagi. The machlokas rather is as follows. Mar sava knasa aniyim. One opinion says that the knas is for the sake of the aniyim, in other words, that it was taken away from them and given to the aniyim, effectively. My tradition. So we said before that according to everybody except the mayor, Zohar is allowed to eat it anyway. But we take it away from the Levium. Umar Sovar, and the other one says, if you're taking it away from... Wait, Umar Sovar, Kohanim, and Meitum Asan, Aniyim, Ninu, whereas the other opinion says, very nice, okay, you know what, when a Kohen is poor, effectively, he's a Nami. He doesn't usually have Cholin around his house, because he only eats Truma, mostly. So therefore, yes, during the time when he's coming, he is an Ani. If you're taking it away from the Levium and giving it to Aniyim anyway, give it to the Kohanim. That's what we're saying. We punish the Levium. We punish the Levium for what they did or didn't do.
They can eat
the Levium can eat the Tumah, sure. Okay, continues the Gemara. Bishleim l'manda oma knas l'aniyim. Okay, I can understand if we're saying that it was for the benefit of the aniyim. Mishum achi ahadri Rav Akiva l'pischa l'bei kivri. That's why Rav Akiva wanted to prevent Rav Elazar ben Azariah from taking that Maaser Rishon, because he said, look, you're rich, you don't need it. Leave it for the aniyim. El l'manda oma l'kainim, but according to the opinion that was meant to be taken away from the aniyim and given to the kainim, amai ahadri l'pischa l'bei kivri, then why is Rav Akiva preventing him from taking it? Rav Elazar ben Azariah is a Kohen. Fine. The Levium shouldn't be having it, so it might as well go to the Kohenim. What's the problem? The answer is Hochikom, Malay. No. When Rav Akiva changed the location of the entrance and prevented Rav Elazar ben Azariah from going in there and getting Maaser anymore, what he was doing is like this. He was saying, it really depends. I'm not doing this as a permanent thing. It really depends. I'm not sure what your reasoning is, what makes you think you're entitled to this Maaser Rishon. If you're coming and taking it because of the knas, because it's been taken away from the Levium, so therefore you feel you're entitled, Yisloch, then fine, you're entitled to it. The knas is the knas. The Ika'osis Peteras Chalukah Lesloch. But if you're coming to get it because you feel that you have an equal share in it as everybody else, then no, you're not poor. You should leave it for the poor Kohanim at least. No, so that's the thing. We're saying that Rabbi Akiva himself is saying that is saying when I'm preventing you from taking this Maaser Rishon, actually I'm preventing it provisionally. You need to tell me why you think you've been taking it, why you've been taking it all this time. If you give me a good reason, if you tell me that you think you were entitled to it, but Teres Knas, then fine. Then you can have it back. So that's what Marshall explained before about the Akiva B'Tamilu B'Anochai. What he was saying is like this. Rabbi Akiva, like I said before, Rabbi Akiva is coming as the Gabbai Tzedakah. He thinks the reason why the Maaser was taken away from Levium is for the sake of the Aniyim. However, he says V'Anochai. I have a living Kabbalah from my ancestors. In fact, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's ancestor was Ezra himself, the one who was saying made the Sakana. I have a Kabbalah from my ancestors that I have an equal right to it as everybody else. It's not a matter of Aniyim versus Ashirim. It's a different reason, so therefore I should be entitled to it. Okay, we're no longer like Slikku B'mei Ezra. Where do we see that the Levium did not come back to Israel in the times of Ezra? The pasuk says, "Ve'ekbetzeim alanar habarel ava." I gathered the people together, all the people who were traveling together with Ezra, together to the river that comes near Ava. We stayed there for 3 days. Va'avinabam. I checked around among the people. And I checked among the Kohenim, and I could not find any Levium over there. And the pasuk goes on to describe how Ezra actually had to send messengers to one of the cities in Babel to tell them to send some Levium. Amar of Chista. What do you mean it hasn't changed? Actually, it is an interesting thing, which I've often remarked on, that you seem to have more Kohenim nowadays than Levium. And, I mean, we're talking when they came back to Eretz Yisrael, but in general, it seems a lot easier to find a Kohen and a Shul than a Levi. During two weeks ago, when I was in Eretz Yisrael, for example, we had four, in our group of 29, we had four Kohenim and one Levi. So why it is, I don't really understand the logic, but it could be actually based on our Gemara over here. It may be that With Levium not getting my submission anyway, there may have been a lot of people who ended up losing a lot more people who ended up losing their Masoda being Levium because they're not getting my submission anyway. They had nothing to remember by that they're a Levi, whereas Kohenim had folks through the Avodah and even after the Churban there's Truma and even after that there's the Mitzvahs of Kohenim. So there's more to remind them of who they are and to preserve the Masoda. And speculation. What? No, but for it, I mean, there was no Jews in Babel nowadays, right? They eventually had to scatter someplace. I don't know. There is also, by the way, a known thing in Jewish history. There was an island in Tunisia called Jerba that was all Kohenim. I've never heard of any similar place that was all Levium. Yeah.
There was a bomb.
Probably
a bomb in that town.
A few years ago.
By that time, I think most of the Jews from there had left anyway. But Amar of Chista, but Chila lo hayu mamidim shoytrim elam min alavim. Originally, when they had to set up shoytrim, meaning shoytrim in modern Hebrew means policemen, but in the Torah terminology, shoytrim basically means more like bailiffs, like people who are in charge of executing court orders, sheriffs, sort of like yeah. So originally, they would only appoint them from Shevet Levi. As the pasuk says, the shoytrim who are levim, who are before you. This is in the times of Yeshua. Achshav ein ma'amidim shoytrim elam Yisrael. Whereas nowadays, after this knas, we only appoint shoytrim from Yisrael. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, the shoytrim harabim b'roshechem, the many shoytrim at your heads. What do you mean many? Meaning Yisraelim. There's many more Yisraelim than levim. Now, there's only one problem with this, which is we're saying shenemar, but there's no such pasuk. So what are we? So what is going on over here? So Tosfos Yeshonim says that actually the Gemara is paraphrasing a pasuk from Devarim that the Moshe describes over there how he set up shoftim shoterim. He says over there I set up shoftim, va'asimim b'roshechem, and I place them at your heads. The problem with that is that the problem with that is Devarim is a long time before Divrei Hayomim, so it would be the other way around. First it was Yisraelim and later on Levim. So there are some people who say that actually this Shenemar is one of those rare cases where the Gemara is quoting something from the Sfarim Chitzonim, from the books that did not make it into Tanakh, but quoting it as if it was a pasuk. We find in one or two places the Gemara does that with Sefer Ben Sira that we talked about earlier in the Masechta. So here there's an argument that this so-called pasuk over here is actually based on a statement from one of the Sfarim Chitzonim, I think from the books of Chashmonoim or something, where it talks about Shoytrim. What? So some of them we have only in translation, and they've been retranslated back into Hebrew. Some of them we have the Hebrew originals or something close to the originals. None of them made it into Tanakh because none of them were written by Nevi'im. So the speculation is that this one comes from one of the books of Chashmonaim. So the books of Chashmonaim, we don't have the original Hebrew of them. All we have is the Greek translation of them, and then it was retranslated back into Hebrew. But there is something in there that's similar to this, something about Yehuda appointing officers and judges and whatever, and there's something that plausibly could have originally been this pasuk in the original.
They were rejected.
But they were rejected as being part of Tanakh because they weren't written with Ruach Kodesh.
Good.